This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's too loud. Canto 1, Chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Text number 15. Yad anudyasina yuktaha.
Yad anudyasina yuktaha.
Karma granti nibandhanam. Chindanti kovidasthasya kona kuryat katharatim. Translation. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? Please repeat. With sword in hand,
with sword in hand.
Intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? Purport. The contact of the spiritual spark with material elements creates a knot which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of fruitive work. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead. This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, his Leela, are transcendental to the modes of material energy. They are all attractive spiritual activities, and therefore constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. Liberation from material bondage is therefore a byproduct of devotional service. Attainment of spiritual knowledge is not sufficient to ensure liberation. Such knowledge must be overcoated with devotional service, so that ultimately the devotional service alone predominates. Then liberation is made possible. Even the reactionary work of the fruitive workers can lead one to liberation when it is overcoated with devotional service. Karma, overcoated with devotion, is called karma yoga. Similarly, empirical knowledge overcoated with devotion is called jnana yoga. But pure bhakti yoga is independent of such karma and jnana, because it alone can not only endow one with liberation from conditional life, but also award one the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, any sensible man who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the personality of Godhead by hearing about him, glorifying him, remembering him, and worshiping him always without cessation. That is the perfect way of devotional service. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult, rigidly followed this rule and made immense literatures of transcendental science for our benefit. They have chalked out ways for all classes of men in terms of the different castes and orders of life in pursuance of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and similar other authoritative scriptures. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truth, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. O life air of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master, O Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali, you are the exact image of Sri Krishna. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So, with sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear, by hearing we're learning, we learn of one of the many benefits of practicing Krishna consciousness. There's many benefits to be obtained by practicing devotional service. One time Prabhupada said, one becomes of sound body, healthy body, sound mind, keen intelligence, and enlivened in spiritual life. So in this verse we hear one of the many benefits. And what is that? That the huge, immense storehouse of karmic reactions that are festering in the heart become destroyed almost to nil. Due to our long association with the modes of material nature in this material world, we've engaged in so many activities, some of them pious, many of them impious, a great number of them sinful. And the reactions for those activities, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are sitting within our heart, festering. And just like Chandrasekhacharya, he has ear infection. So it took him a while to attend to it. It was festering. I also have ear infection. I wanted to borrow some of your antibiotics 4 days ago. I thought it'd go away. It didn't go away. So now it's festering in my ear. And I know unless I take care of it very soon, there'll be a very big problem. So in our hearts, we have this inauspiciousness. It's not auspicious. Karma. The karmic reactions in our heart are not auspicious. They're the result of our independence, our selfish desires. That had nothing to do with devotion. Love for God. They're obstacles on the path. But here, this verse is saying that this huge storehouse of karma accumulated for many, many lifetimes can be destroyed immediately upon hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Just like you're doing now. Someone can say, what are these devotees, 5 hours every morning, sitting, just mumbling some mantras and hearing some tales from the past? No, sir. This is all transcendental sound vibration. Golok prem dan harinam sankirtan. The effect of the Sabda Brahma is that it burns to ashes all the karmic reactions accumulated for millions and millions and billions and trillions of lives. It's an amazing offer. This is a nice offer. You simply sit and you relish Bhagavatam. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, all that is inauspicious in the heart of the candidate becomes destroyed almost to nil. Thus, loving devotional service to the Lord becomes established as an irrevocable fact. By rendering service to the pure devotee and by attending classes on the Bhagavatam, the two are required. What an offer. Housewives, they regularly go through the newspaper to find sales where normally expensive items are sold at reduced prices. There's a whole section of the newspaper. You open it up and they have all the sales and all the bargains, you know. So the housewives, I remember my mother, she used to cut out that part of the newspaper and put it with a magnet on the refrigerator. And then when it was time to go shopping, she'd gather all those little papers and it'd be an offer here, reduced. If you bring this in, you'll get. She's always trying to save money like that. I saw on Boxing Day in Sydney when we were on Harinam, all those big famous shops, I don't even know their names, thank God, where nice clothes and jewelry and so many products are offered. And they all had, many of them had 50% sale. The lines were going down blocks. The Harinam was going by. Blocks, they were waiting in line for the sale. Huge lines. But what are those offers compared to this offer of Bhagavatam? That by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you cut to pieces all karmic reactions in your heart. Essentially, all this karma, particularly the sinful activities, is causing us great suffering. In the past, the present, the future, our suffering, our anxiety, our stress, and so forth, is not happening by chance. It's all a question of destiny. But here's an offer. Here, Bhagavatam. Unprecedented, unheard of, unbelievable. And therefore, the Bhagavatam asks the question, Ko na karyat katharatim. Therefore, who will not pay attention to this lesson? Ko na karyat katharatim. Knowing this fact, who will not sit and hear Bhagavatam? Just like, who will not take the antibiotics? When you get the ear infection and here's the medicine, who's not going to take the antibiotics? You're going to go on letting your ear? No. Take the antibiotics. Little inconvenience there. They make you a little dizzy sometimes. They have to eat on a full stomach, otherwise they cause some stuff. But you take them, all better now. Ko na karyat kataratim. Who will not hear this message of Bhagavatam? Well, there's plenty of people out there who won't listen, because where are they all now? This great Grantharaj Bhagavatam, king of all scriptures, which is the panacea for all problems of life. It's being offered here at Govinda Valley. Every morning we're reading. How many people live in Sydney? Some millions. Where are they? Why aren't they sitting here in this beautiful abode of Govinda Valley? Like a celestial planet here. Well, it's transcendental because we're doing devotional service. Why don't they sit here? Because they don't believe it. They don't believe in the power of devotional service. Or let us say they don't know enough about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to take a decision to come here and hear this Bhagavatam. Therefore, our job is to go out from Govinda Valley and enlighten them. To go in the streets, we have to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh, look, very nice, happy people, beautiful girls. Look, there's twins. They look exactly the same. And then Chandrasekhar comes along and says, this is a book about our way of life. Oh, really, how much is it? It's a couple of dollars. Oh, very happily I'll buy that. People like to buy our books here. And then when they read the benefits of this Bhagavatam, practicing Krishna consciousness, yes, I'd like to go and associate with the devotees. Ado shuddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anartha nirviti syat. Adoshradha, we get a little faith in the process of Krishna consciousness by associating with Krishna's devotees. That's how you get some faith. That's how you decide, I want to be like these people. I don't know if I can do it, but they're happy. They say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So you start coming around and you sit in the Bhagavatam, you chant, you experiment. You know, yeah, I'll try. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna. That's like a prasada. Hear them. Gradually, cheto dharpana marjanam. Then the heart becomes cleansed and all these things become revealed. So we have to educate them about that karma which is causing all the suffering. As we know, karma dictates that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's a law of nature. It's a subtle law of nature, which the scientists have yet to discover. They're very proud. They've discovered the law of thermodynamics, the law of gravity, the law of this, the law of that. Sir, this is one law that you haven't discovered, which you better discover pretty soon. Newton was given credit for discovering the law of gravity, but I think a more significant achievement would be for someone to discover the law of karma. It's there, ready to be discovered. You could say it's even more important than the law of gravity. Wait a minute. How is the law of karma more significant than the law of gravity? Because the law of gravity holds you down for a lifetime. But your past karma weighs you down birth after birth after birth after birth. So Newton's very famous. You know, when you go to any science place, you see Newton there. He's credited. Of course, he just discovered it. Krishna created it. Why don't they give some credit to the creator? It's like somebody, you know, has a beautiful diamond ring and they're walking on the street and then it slips off, and then somebody finds it and they get that credit for, wow, look what I found. And then he becomes famous as they give that diamond ring his name. But wait a minute, it belonged to somebody else. Who created the law? There's laws, but whose law is it, sir? They don't think the laws of nature, Mother Nature. Whose nature is it? Aham savasya pabhavo matta sarvam pavartate. Krishna says, hello. I'm the source of everything that's material and spiritual. Don't forget me. I created it. I'm maintaining it. And I can destroy it. God giveth and God taketh away. I can give it to you and I can take it away from you. You'd better at least acknowledge this gift. That's all I'm asking. If you give a gift to somebody, at least you want to say, thanks. If you give a gift to somebody, they turn their back on you and walk away. Hey, no more gifts for you. That's why Krishna's restricting all these opulences of nature. It's becoming quite austere. We have the global warming and all the environmental issue because people are not God conscious. They're not acknowledging the gift from God. So karma. Actually, karma, they just throw that word around. Instant karma. John Lennon did that. Instant karma. And even in the business world, it's come into the English language now. People don't know the significance of this word, karma. It's the subject matter of today's verse. It's such an important subject matter that Sri Rupa Goswami discusses it in his epic Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? It's the science of devotional service. What does karma have to do with devotional service? This great epic, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which describes the various loving mellows of devotional service. How the servants of Krishna love him, how the cowherd boys love him, how the parents of Krishna, how the gopis love Krishna. This very deep science of divine love. That's the subject matter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Why is Sri Rupa Goswami talking about karma in the very first chapter? Because in order to develop that love, you have to get the karma out and you have to stop the activities that cause the karma. Just like for my ear to be healthy, now I have to kill the virus and then I can hear properly. So what does he say? He scares us a little bit. Sadhu means one who cuts. One who cuts your attachments. Who reveals the futility of material existence. Because we're holding on to our attachments. Yes, I like this Hare Krishna movement, but still I have some security. This in the background and this in the back. I'm holding on. Bhagavatam reveals the Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. What is this material world? A temporary place full of suffering. Prabhupada said, no place for a lady or a gentleman. There's only one alternative, pure devotional service to the Lord. So Rupa Goswami talks about the karma. He said, these seeds of our past sins are sitting in our heart like a big barrel. Just imagine a big barrel of seeds in your heart. And those seeds are fructifying at different times. Some are fructifying right now. Somebody's got a cold. Somebody just got an inheritance. Somebody has the antibiotics. Somebody doesn't. Like that. And then in the future, the seeds will pop like snap, crack, pop. They still have that advertisement? Rice Krispies, Kellogg's Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, pop. So now we're experiencing the results of pious and impious deeds right now. In the future, and in the distant future, and in millions of lifetimes, they're sitting there a long time. Just like you take seeds and you plant them in the spring. Some of them will come up immediately, like daffodils. Daffodils are the first flowers to appear in the springtime. They don't have much of a scent, but they're very colorful. If you go to Holland, there's lots of daffodils. Just as the snow melts and the ground unfreezes, they plant, and then just to encourage the people, because it's been a long, lonely winter. Here comes the sun. Da-na-na-na. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right. No, flowers are coming. Some sunshine, some. You don't have that problem down here. You live in some heavenly abode down here, coast of Australia. You don't have to experience the cold, freezing winters that we have in Europe or Siberia. These girls are from Siberia. 45 to 50 degrees below zero. We have 50 degrees sometimes in the central Australia. I have 50 degrees below zero. You pour the water and it freezes. It doesn't even go to the ground. It's true. I did it. You pour the water. So when those first flowers come, Krishna says, therefore, he says, of seasons, I'm flower-bearing spring. One time Prabhupada said, the only opulence left in this terrible age of Kali is flowers. I have a humble suggestion that you grow more flowers here. You could have so many nice flowering. You have lots of green here, lots of green trees. Green, 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 green. But you accent it with some nice flower bushes. It'll be very nice. You can decorate your altar. Look, you have a few tiny flowers. You can decorate the altar with real opulence, not gold and sapphire and jewel, but flowers. No one can create, no one is such an artist as Krishna. One time Prabhupada said, flowers are the smile of the Lord. Anyway, back to karma. So then some of the seeds, they come up during the summertime. Some of the seeds don't actually manifest until autumn. Then you get pumpkins, you get squash. You don't have Halloween in the springtime. You don't have Halloween in the summertime. Do you have Halloween here? No, okay. It's American pagan festival. They call us pagans. Well, wait a minute. They're all observing, you know, worshiping scary pumpkins. Frightening witches and ghosts, and they all dress up. Trick or treat. No trick. No treat? Okay, trick. Okay, burn your house down. Yes, the squash come. They're there all since the springtime. They've been there. I remember doing Sankirtan in France, and we'd do the villages in Alsace-Lorraine, very beautiful part, eastern part near Strasbourg, near Germany. And we would just walk from village to village. The villages were so close, we'd walk with our book bag. We'd do a village, it'd take us 2 hours to do a village. We'd walk, and all along I'd see, in the summertime, little tiny pumpkins, little tiny squash, and they weren't ready yet. And then by the time we left that area in October, November, they were very big, and sometimes we'd steal one or two. Not for Halloween, because we were young men, we were very hungry. All that Sankirtan, we'd cook them up, offer them to Krishna. Eat them if you please. So like that. The seeds have different... They manifest a different... So in your heart, you don't know what's in the future. You may be doing good now. You don't know what's in that great storehouse of karma within your heart. Generally, it's not a very good story. Even if it's good, for a transcendentalist, it's bad, because it may distract us from the goal. It may be something very nice, but you may become so enchanted with it that you forget to chant your rounds. You forget to go to the temple. You forget to offer the prasad. You forget to read Prabhupada's books. It's so nice, the surf. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami said, the concept of good and bad in this world is wrong. He's very fanatic in a transcendental way. He said it's all bad. And Prabhupada made it even more simple to understand. Dry stool, wet stool. Oh, I've stepped in the wet stool. Oh, I stepped in the dry stool, no problem. Excuse me, sir. There's a stool, you're still contaminated. Go take a shower. So these different reactions are snap, crackle, pop. We don't realize what's in the heart. One time Prabhupada said, if I revealed to you all the karma in your heart, you would faint. Oh no. Just like Narada Muni. Narada Muni met that hunter in the forest. What was his name? Magrari the hunter. Magrari the hunter was a very bad man. He was a hunter, which is bad enough. Atmahana means those who kill for their food. They're atma, killers of the soul. Of course, you can't kill the soul, but by engaging in that type of activity, slaughtering animals, selling slaughtered animals, eating, serving slaughtered animals, atmahana, you kill the soul's chances for self-realization. That's the idea. You can't kill the jayate, mriyate, va karachinnayam bhutva bhavita va anubhuya. For the soul, there's never birth nor death. Having once been, does he ever cease to be? He's unborn, undying, primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So what does atmahana mean? It means you kill the soul's chances to become self-realized, to achieve real life. Not this life of serving this dead energy called the body. That's not life. That's like death. Real life means on the spiritual platform, the spiritual body, the spiritual senses are awakened to serve the transcendental form of Govinda. That's real life. And if you engage in these sinful activities, atmahana, you kill the soul's chances to achieve the ecstatic stage of devotional service to the Lord. So that was Magrari. He was a hunter. But what kind of hunter was he? Very bad hunter. He would half kill. In other words, he liked to see the animals suffer. So contrary to the nature of a Vaishnava, who's concerned with every living entity. I was in Vrindavan some years ago, and one crow, you know crows. This pretty bird was enough this morning. He was... I couldn't chant, I couldn't concentrate in the holy name. He probably was thinking, what am I doing here? I'm thinking, what are you doing? we had to shoo him away, so go, you can sing to your mate someplace else. We have to chant Hare Krishna. All right, you got one note. You have two notes? How about like... But no. Ah, it's driving me crazy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So there was this... Anyway... They're all pretty birds here. So this crow, he landed on an electrical wire outside the temple. You could almost see him cooking down on the ground. His eyes were going, feet were up in the air. He was a goner. So I'm thinking, oh, it's a crow. Probably deserved it. But these sadhus were coming, doing parikrama. And they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Now if you chant, your heart becomes purified and you have a different vision. Vidya vinaya sampane bhamani gavi hastani suni chaiva sapaki cha pandita samadharshanaha. A pandit, a truly learned person, he sees with equal vision. An elephant, a cow, a dog, a dog eater. He sees everyone on the equal spiritual platform, the brahmana, a cow. He sees doesn't see the body, he sees the soul inside. He always says, here's my brother and sister. Here's my Krishna conscious brother and sister, and here's my brother and sister who are in illusion. My brother and sister. So the sadhus, they saw the crow like in his death throes on the ground. So they went and they picked him up. And they began petting because he was shivering. One sadhu was like this, petting him. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the other one went and got some bread or chapati and some dut, some milk. And he put the chapati into the milk, the warm milk, and then he opened the crow's mouth and forced the milk and chapati into his mouth. And then the crow calmed like that. They must have said, I went to class. I came back from class. That was about 7. I came back at 10:30. Those sadhus were still there with the crow. And by this time, the crow was getting ready to fly, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then at one point, I'll never forget this. That sadhu just raised his hand. He went, Hare Krishna. And that crow flew away. I was thinking, this is devotee. It's like that one time they said, a disciple said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone seems to love you. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's because I love everyone. This is sadhu. So Magrari, oh God, Magrari, he's the opposite. He's like killing the animal, not only killing it, but shooting the arrow in such a way that it doesn't die immediately. He liked to see it, Prabhupada used the word flapping. Flapping on the ground. Flap, flap, flap. Narada came, and Narada tried to preach to him, sir, don't you understand that this is ugra karma, this is horrible activity. This animal is suffering. You shouldn't do like that. If you do like that, you will also suffer. But because he was such a sinful person, his consciousness was clouded and he couldn't understand transcendental knowledge. That's why it takes us sometimes weeks, months, or years to really understand and relish this philosophy. Because our hearts are also contaminated. Our consciousness is also clouded because of our past karmic activity. Therefore, with great earnestness, we have to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Then the fog goes away very quickly. It's a science. But he couldn't understand. So what did Narada do? He uses siddhis. He uses mystic powers. He went... And what did the hunter see? He saw all his sinful reactions personified coming at him in the form of all those animals he had killed. The rabbits, the bears, the chipmunks, the cockatoos, the parrots, the parakeets, the monkeys, the deer. They were coming for their revenge. And then he saw, oh, this is my karma. Okay, what do I do? Quickly, what do I do, Narada Muni? Stop your sinful activity? Yes, sir. And chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But he had some special grace, just like Maharaj Parikshit. He had a special mercy. He knew he was going to die in 7 days. So Magrari, he had a special grace. He saw his karmic reaction, so therefore he surrendered. We thinking, yes, maybe this is true, maybe not, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Shraddha, our faith is very weak. But you get faith by associating with devotees. Your faith becomes strong. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha. By associating with those who are convinced, who are realized, who are Krishna conscious, your little tender creeper of faith in the process of Krishna consciousness grows. Therefore, what's the most important thing in Krishna consciousness? Associating with devotees. We must associate with devotees as much as possible because our shraddha, our faith, in the process. And when we have faith, then we chant with fixed attention. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So therefore, he saw, you can't see, but there's like a huge huge repository of these karmic reactions in your heart. Don't think that because your heart is the size of a fist, you can only fit a small amount of sinful reactions in there. Actually, your heart is the size of your fist, because the ladies are smaller, right? So they have smaller fists, so that their heart, that size, the boys here, the twins, these big, and they're big boys. Do your fist, go like this. That's how big his heart is. Shivanjali, do your fist like that. So that's how big your heart is. Now, you all have big hearts because you're Vaishnavas, but I'm just... So how can all these sinful reactions fit in that little space? Well, nowadays, by the grace of science, we can understand better, like a computer chip. What can you put on a computer chip? All the knowledge known to man. So if that's possible, the intelligence of an ordinary scientist, and how much more amazing must be the arrangement of the most intelligent person, God. They can put that whole kit and caboodle, that's probably not an Australian word, into your heart, all, and fit it in there very nicely. And someone can say, what kind of God is this? Who makes one suffer, who makes it all the arrangements so that you suffer for what you did in your past lives. What kind of God is that? Who makes you suffer for what you did, you know, a million years ago. Hey, let bygones be bygones. I mean, okay, a couple million years ago. But we're trying to analyze, understand why these karma is sitting there, festering in our heart. In our modern society, criminals are held accountable for something they did last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Someone's, we say, on the run, a criminal, he's on the run. He tries to escape. He gets out of prison. He's on the run for 20, 30 years. Recently, they caught some of the heads of the mafia in Italy, in Sicily. He used to do Sankirtan, remember? Vilas used to do Sankirtan there in Sicily. Palermo, Sicily. And the dons are there, the guys. But they're all in hiding. And they caught one that he went into hiding when he was in his 30s, and he was 72. They just caught him. That's called the long arm of the law. Well, you know, maybe you can escape your whole life from the long arm of the law, but not the long arm of the Lord. That's a tongue twister. The long arm of the Lord. No, you can never escape Krishna. Whatever you do comes back to you. Right. So we're also responsible for things we did millions of lives ago. Passing time is not a consideration. When you leave this body, then you get this like blueprint that goes with you to your next body. The subtle body goes with you. So it's like, you know, on a computer chip, it's just there somewhere and it's all recorded and then it's arranged. And then you suffer it, and then you're released from the karma. Just like a thief, he steals, he goes to jail, and then he's released. So that when we suffer, what is suffering? It may sound a little sadistic, but suffering is actually purification. But because agumam ad bhakulam, we don't want to listen to God, so we have to go through the school of hard knocks, and then we realize, wow, I can't be happy here. On my own, without Krishna. Therefore, when a devotee sees people happy, he sees people in misery, he's always equipoised. He knows it's all an arrangement of the Lord to bring them to their senses. He's not disturbed when he sees all these things happening in the world. Ashtatyan anvashoschastvam prajna vadams chabashashe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. This may seem very insensitive. How is it a devotee doesn't lament for the living of the dead? He doesn't lament for someone who is in a good situation. He doesn't lament for someone who is in a bad situation. How can you be so insensitive to all the suffering of this world? No, we know that it's the master plan of the Lord. It's His master plan. He doesn't want to do it, but we're so obstinate, He has to do it. Like child wants to put her hand into the flame of the candle. Mommy, it's pretty. Don't touch. Mommy, it's so pretty. I said don't touch. Mommy, I said don't touch. And the little girl sticks her tongue out at the mother. All right, then touch. And she, ow! So I told you. You wouldn't listen. You going to do it again? No, mommy. That's karma. We leave the kingdom of God. You know, we're so puffed up. I don't need God. I come here to enjoy. And then there couldn't be God. That's so much suffering. Well, no. Don't blame God for your suffering. Don't blame the policeman, you know, for giving you a ticket for speeding. You knew you weren't supposed to speed. Why are you giving me a ticket? Because if you don't get a ticket, you'll continue speeding. And one day you'll kill yourself. So those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. When they see the But they're not insensitive because they offer, again, the ultimate solution. You just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. That's the point. That's called prayaschitya. Prayaschitya means some atonement. You did it, so atonement means that you can get free from the result of sinful activity painlessly. It's there, but you don't have to suffer all those horrible war, pestilence, famine, car crashes. No, you can deal with it in a civilized way, in a religious way. You can get rid of all the reactions in a civilized way, painlessly. You have to get rid of it, but you don't have to experience it. You can purify it. That's God's gift. All right, you've done it. So you don't have to experience it like that. You just do what I say, you'll become purified of it. Little effort has to be there. You can get free from it painlessly. Like you have a toothache and you go to the doctor, the dentist. So if he wants, he can just drill and they say, oh, but he gives you some Novocaine. Then he does the work. So that's prayaschitya. It means you do certain rituals which free you from the karma. Painless. It's like one time I had a kidney stone. How many of you have ever had kidney stones? Raise your hands. You can thank God you never had. Yajurveda says kidney stone is equal to the pain of death. And I had a kidney stone. I was chanting my japa in the temple room at New Mayapur. It came into the kidney and then started to come out. I was Hare Krishna, chanting my around, like rolling on the ground like a baby crying. I was just looking at the devotees. They took me to the hospital. The doctor maybe it's an exploded appendix, or maybe, I don't know, he didn't, so he immediately gave me some morphine. How many of you have ever had morphine? Everything's coming up roses, everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful, you know. And then that night, the morphine wore off and the pain came back. Morphine! Like you hear in the war movies. Morphine! And then the kidney stone came out, but I cheated. Because I don't know, it was such a high. I kind of thought, well, maybe it's still there, so, doctor, morphine! They came and gave me a third shot. He said, did you really need that? I went, yeah. He said, no more morphine for you. So, like that, the karmic reactions are there. It's not a good story. Trust no future, however bright, unless you're a devotee. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a turn in the road somewhere. Something's going to happen. But you can get rid of it in a nice way by doing something, some some activity, pratyaschitya. For example, it recommends in the Vedas, if you've hurt an innocent animal, then the atonement is you bathe in sacred water, bas, finish. You acknowledge, you repent, sorry, and so then how to purify it? So because you said you're sorry, you've repented, you don't want to do it again, then we'll give you some break. Just bathe in the water, the reaction's gone. If you lied, you could serve some righteous person like a brahmana, no reaction. If you stole something, then you yourself could give in charity, you neutralize the reaction. Such a science, Krishna consciousness. Oh, I'm scared, I'm going to have to suffer. No. Do some parishtitya, do some atonement for that. That's why in India, people live on the banks of the Ganges. You think they live there just because of the scenery? No, they're enlightened persons. They know Shastra. They study the books. They know the science of this world. They live on the bank of the Ganges because when they take their normal bath three times a day, volumes and volumes and volumes of sinful activities are washed away by one bath. And you're just chatting with your friends, you know. You've seen India when they take the bath? The ladies are dressed in their clothes, so they're chatting in a little circle. They're washing their clothes. They're in the bath. They're in the river for 2 hours. Oh, that's okay. Chito dharpana marjanam. The Prabhupada notes that the Mother Ganges, she's called Patita Pavani. Someone found that name for me. What's that? Someone was reading the other day. Oh, yeah. I was looking for names because it was initiation. And then he said, I have a nice name, Patita Pavani. I never heard that. I never read the Bhagavatam that carefully, I guess. Patita Pavani. It's a name for the Ganges, that she's very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls. So I wrote that down. Patita Pavani. Your name is Patita Pavani. Whoa, what does that mean? I've heard of Patita Pavana, Lord Chaitanya, but Patita Pavani, Prabhupada writes. Mother Ganges is very merciful. She removes the sins, but she cannot remove the desires which are the source of the sin. The Prabhupada said, this chanting of Hare Krishna is even more powerful than bathing in the Ganges. Because when you chant Hare Krishna, you become free from the sin, and it uproots the desire for sinful activity, and it goes away. So you know, we have to go to India to get purified. You sit here in Australia, in Sydney, and just chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But you know, we're so lazy in Kali Yuga, we don't even have time for those atonements. We're so lazy. So Rupa Goswami, he offers in Padyavali, okay, a tulsi leaf offered to the feet of a Nrisinga Shalagram destroys the sin of murder. You take the tulsi leaf off the Shalagram, you're freed from murder. Water that has washed the lotus feet of a Nrisinga Shalagram destroys the sin of theft. Foodstuff offered to the Nrisinga Shalagram destroys the sin of drinking liquor. That means all those six packs you drank before you came to the Krishna consciousness. You just take some little grain of rice that's offered to the Nrisinga Shalagram, all gone, the reaction. Sincere surrender to the Nrisinga Shalagram destroys even the sin of adultery with the wife of the guru. Association with devotees who worship the Nrisinga Shalagram destroys the sin of offenses to devotees. These are the extraordinary glories of the Nrisinga Shalagram. Nrisinga Shalagram Srila Ki. Yeah. I'm missing my Nrisinga Shalagram. So everyone, you want to purify your hearts because these reactions, these desires are obstacles to our love for Radha Gopinath. So go get your Nrisinga Shalagram. Oh, it's very hard to find a Nrisinga Shalagram. Of all the Shalagrams, they're the most rare. And they're only to be worshipped by tyagis, renunciates. That Ugrana Sringa, not recommended for householders. Because householders have the responsibility of maintaining a nice situation because they have children and work and so forth. So they need house and car. But by worshipping Nisringadev, he takes everything away from you. The Ugrish Nisringa Shalagran, he takes everything away. Oh, that doesn't sound very nice. Oh, it's very nice for sannyasis. Sannyasis are only supposed to depend on Krishna, not on material possessions. They don't find their pleasure in material things. They find their pleasure in service to God. So God takes everything away from the renunciate. So he has no other recourse than to call out for shelter, Krishna, pomagi. It's Russian. It means help me. You don't have to translate that part. Krishna, pomagi. Krishna, help. We become more dependent on God. So you don't have an Ashringa Shalagram. So, and actually, there's practically no prayaschitta atonement that's effective for people like us. Because in Vedic culture, there'd be a slip-up once in a while. Many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. In Vedic culture, there was such a pure society, noble souls, ladies and gentlemen, so pure in heart, maybe just one or two lives, three lives, and then back to the spiritual world. We're birth after birth after birth after birth. Our nasty desires, our obstinacy not to surrender to God, so many karmic reactions, you know, we're the burnt remnants of the past ages. What hope is it's like trying to clean a piece of coal. To clean our hearts is like cleaning a piece of coal. What is coal? It's nothing but black. You take it and a piece of coal, I'm going to clean it, Dad. And you scrub it. What is this going on? There's nothing. That's our hearts. We're Kali Yuga. Who can be proud? There's no room for pride. You have to be humble. But something very nice about coal, if you put pressure on coal for a long time, it turns into a diamond. So if the spiritual master puts the pressure on the disciple, be strict in following these rules and regulations, every day chant 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Render some service to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He puts the pressure on. Whereas it takes millions or billions of years for coal to turn into a diamond, because a diamond is nothing more than compressed coal over billions of years. But by the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Krishna, a little pressure, because Guru means heavy. He's putting the pressure on his disciple. Don't be lazy. Get up, chant, dance, take prasad, study. Oh, no, keep going, keep going, keep moving. Come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it, like coach. The pressure, the coal-like heart, turns into the diamond-like heart of a Vaishnava. Brilliant. We're like Yudhishthir. Oho me pasya tagjanam hride hrudham daratmana. He says in the Bhagavatam, O my lot, I am the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many, many phalanxes of men. After Kurukshetra, he was lamenting. It's all to make me the emperor? All these people had to die? Oh, what reaction I have now. So what can we do? All the prayaschitta, all the atonement mentioned in Manu Samhita, it only have a choot-choot effect on our hearts. A little effect on our heart. Would it just give up? No hope? No. Kaler doshay nidhe rajan astiyeka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sanga param vijat. What a verse. Oh, that is one of the 10 most important for us. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param vijat. Hey king, Shukadev Goswami saying to Maharaj Pariksit, hey king, this Kali Yuga, it is an ocean of inauspiciousness. How many times have we given the analogy of Australia? We were talking about how there's a little beach here, a little beach there. Then I said to Pradapana, actually, your whole country's a beach. This is an island, a big island. It's all beaches. One beach after another here. So you're surrounded by an ocean. How far can you go into the ocean? A few feet. And you drown. Even the best swimmer would drown in the ocean. What if you fell into an ocean of inauspiciousness? Just try to imagine what that is. And you drowned in an ocean of inauspiciousness. Oh! As Yudhishthira says, Aho me pasya, oh my lot. What can be done for us? Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vijat. But in that ocean of inauspiciousness, there's one pearl. Like, where do you find pearls? You find them in the ocean. And you find those special pearls that have a special luster. And during a certain astrological, a combination of stars, a certain astrological period, when it rains, the water hits the sea, and then it turns into pearls, and the pearls float to the bottom. The clams don't make them. Those are the second-class pearls. The first-class pearls are celestial. When there's a certain astrological combination of the stars, and it rains, wow! Mom, it's raining pearls! So what is this pearl in this inauspicious ocean of Kali Yuga? That real wealth you get, then you can, by that you can get something valuable. You sell that. What's the real value? You can get prema. You can get love of God, even in Kali Yuga, by one thing: kirtanad eva, by the kirtan, or the singing of Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In one simple stroke. That in Kali Yuga, we want everything very simple, you know, one easy, you know, cheap thrills, everything real simple. So the Lord has to adjust, okay? So we'll make spiritual life very simple as well. Just chant. But even that we can't do. Even that we can't do. We're doing it, but what is the quality? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, your bhajan will be tested at death. Now you can sit and you look nice, you're chanting, but what's going on in the mind? Only you know, God knows. But everything will be tested at the moment of death. The sincerity of your bhajan, if you called out from the heart. O son of Maharaja Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and fix me as an atom at your lotus feet. So, this is the great mercy available to us. Just by kirtan, all those sinful reactions are destroyed. And the chanting, like we mentioned, in comparison to the Ganges, that chanting also uproots the material desires. And the supreme benefit is that it awakens ecstatic love for God. So therefore, Kona Kriyat Katara Team. Who will not pay attention to this message? If you hear this, the heart becomes cleansed, the desires are destroyed, and prema comes. It's not that far away. Not that far away if we're sincere. It doesn't have to be that far away. Let us say like that. It doesn't have to be that far away. It's within our grip. It is. Otherwise, you know, one time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it really true that in the spiritual world, you know, the Lord is there in that form, and that Radha's there, and Lalita and Vishakha and all the gopis? And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was like, do you think that I would lie to you? We're thinking sometimes, is it, you know, it's just so, it's amazing, you know. God's a cowherd boy, and he plays a flute, and he wears a peacock feather, and he has a consort, Radha, and there's her girlfriends, and there's left-wing gopis, and right-wing, and there's Radha-kund, and it's, you know. He was almost like hurt. Prabhupada said, do you think that I would lie to you? I won't mention that devotee's name. She told me that from that day on, she had full faith in Krishna consciousness. Do you think that I would lie to you? And that prema, that ecstatic, that stage of ecstatic love of God, it's not that, it's within reach. It's within our reach. It's within our reach. The moment that one reaches that stage of prema, the Lord reciprocates with the devotee in such an amazing way. That moment. It's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When you reach the stage of prema, Krishna first enlivens the devotee's sense of sight. Because, you know, now you're seeing with these gross eyeballs and infected ears and, you know, lusty tongues and, you know. But when you purify this body and your spiritual body, your spiritual senses become manifest, then Krishna enlivens your sense of sight. And he reveals his form to you. The minute you hit prema, there's no wasting time. The minute you come to the stage of prema, all exalted, and you come to that state of ecstatic love, then immediately, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, Govindam Adipurusham. Krishna's there. He opens your eyes. You see Krishna standing before you. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as a result, asta sattvika vikara, he says. You become paralyzed in ecstatic love. You become quivering. You start weeping and you fall unconscious in an ecstatic state of samadhi. Can anything compare to that in this world? Going down for a Saturday night at Bondi Beach, you know, drinking toxic poison, pressing the flesh, drinking yourself into unconsciousness. Not that type, no. Asta sattvika vikara, seeing the beautiful form of Govinda, bluish black like the monsoon cloud, tribhanga sundara, long keshava black flowing hair, lips as red as bimba fruit, lotus eyes, almost translucent Krishna's form with his venu, playing the fifth note, melting the hearts of the gopis. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he manifests his ambrosial fragrance to the devotee. Now he enlivens your sense of smell in your spiritual body. Krishna's body is smelling like a mixture of aguru and musk and sandalwood. And when you smell the fragrance of the Lord, you also faint. You fall unconscious. And then Krishna enlivens your sense of hearing. He calls out to you as you're unconscious in an ecstatic state of love. This is all very advanced, but we're just giving you a sneak preview of what's ahead so you don't think that something else is more valuable ahead. Krishna calls out to your sense of hearing. My dear devotee, I am now your captive. I am fully under your control. Do not be overwhelmed. Just look at me again and fulfill the desire of your heart. How would we know these things if it was not for the mercy of these great acharyas? Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura, Baladeva Vidyabhūṣana, Narottam, Shyamananda, Śrīnivāsa, the six Goswāmīs. How would we know How would we know? We wouldn't know. Just some speculation. We'd be left with just some very, I don't know, God's an old man. Then the Lord reciprocates with that devotee's rasa, his mood of service. You wake up and then you stand before the Lord. And if you're in the, if your mood with, of service to Krishna is dasya, servant, Krishna puts his feet on your head. If your ras with Krishna is sakya ras, like cowherd boy, Krishna puts his fingers in your fingers. You know how friends, they hold hands like that? But true friends, true love is like this. You hold a hand like that, but then like this is, when all the fingers are interlocked like that, this is a sign of deep, confirmed friendship. So Krishna puts his hand in your hand like that. And if your relationship with Krishna is that of a parental ras, vatsalya ras, then Krishna takes his hand and he wipes away the tears from your eyes. Vishnu, talk about it, says. And if your relationship with Krishna is madhurya ras, he takes you to his chest and he puts his arms around you and he embraces you. Then the Lord fully awakens the devotee's sense of spiritual taste. He chews some remnants of prasad in his mouth and then he puts it into the mouth of the devotee. Of course, we won't go any further because these things should only be given in small doses. But neither should we be in ignorance of these divine arrangements that await us in the further. They can act as an impetus for us. Because what does this world have to offer in comparison to that? Nothing. And hearing of this, it convinces us of the benefits. All these benefits, not just the karma. That is the subject matter of this verse. But it's not just the karma goes. It's also the desires are going. And the prema, the love for God, is manifest. So in that sense, we can conclude. Ko na kriyat kataratim. Therefore, who will not pay attention to this message of the Bhagavatam? Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Shukdev Goswami ki Shri Prabhupada ki Goluk Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki Gorda Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.